Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, I did see this note. Antonio Pierce says everything that he's hearing is he's going to be back this year. All the other mess is from the outside, not from the inside. So Antonio Pierce currently feels safe as the head coach.
Also not fun
of the Raiders
when you have to like step out and be like, hey, I know what you're thinking. I think I'm going to stay.
A preemptive strike. It's not going to go this way. So don't even ask the questions right now because I don't want to hear them. Right now it's time for the C Block featuring me. It's always weird to say it that way, but here we are in the C Block. Kevin, do you have any questions?
I was going
to
say I can't do the same grand introduction, but I can say it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
The thing that we've been tracking all season long.
I know this.
And what really made me happy was last week when when Alec was sitting in for you, he and CA did a wonderful job sitting in with the show. Alec said, I love this stat. And I was like, oh man, thanks. I really appreciate that. Cause it was just something out of nowhere. I started tracking for some reason. The top 10 passer records from this week, and by the way, the last 2 weeks, 7-3. Good job for the passers in the last 2 weeks winning football games. So 7-3 for both of those. That put it at, on the year, each week we track the top 10 passers and whether or not they won and lost, 91 and 89.
Okay, so like pretty close to just 500.
Mm-hmm, pretty close to just 500. Tracking the top 10 rusher records for the year, by the way, the last 2 weeks, 6-4 and 5-5. So a little down for the majority of the year. But Kevin, not one time did the top 10 rushers have a losing record. Not one time this year. Whereas the passers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 times had losing records.
Wow. So it's better to have a good running
record. 121 and 59. If you're running the ball well, you are going to win football games. That's the reality of what we've seen. And I know that the game is built for passing. And I know that people just got out on, hey, paying the running back, drafting running back. If you have a really talented running back and you draft him high, man, use that dude. Use him do what they did with Zeke. Use him until he can't do it anymore.
So, like, if you had the number, I don't know, 12 pick in the draft. Yes. And there's a really elite running back that looked like he was going to be there, you'd go for it.
Yes, okay. I actually would, especially since you don't have a running back. Your running back right now is Deuce Vaughn or bringing Zeke back.
Hell yeah.
Listen, man, are you...
Mark Sanchez told me Zeke's got plenty of tread left on the tire.
What do you do? Don't do that. Don't do that.
Mark, you're being sarcastic.
He was being sarcastic too, I think.
I don't think he was.
That's the concerning part, is that he probably wasn't being sarcastic. He was probably being real about that. And yes, that was passing. So that for somebody who said passing or receiving yards, that was passing yards. Passing versus rushing. So again, if you have good rushers, you're doing pretty good. We're going to start with Cowboys hits and misses right now. Kevin, hit. When Trey Lance starts, the Cowboys almost win. That is a hit right there.
But they do I need to play cut number seven again? They lost.
No, you don't need to play it again. But I will tell you, Kevin, you asked earlier if there was a point where I was rooting for the win. And there was a point where I was rooting for the win just so I could say, every time that Trey Lance has started, he wins.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys win every time, but they didn't, and therefore we can't. So we got to move on from the guy. If you lose, you're out of here. That's the way that it is. Another hit, Jalen Tolbert. 4 for 98, 24.5 per reception. Big day for him right there. Again, I still need to see more out of him this year, yeah. And I didn't get it. But for this one specific game, that was a very good outing for him. He looked very comfortable at the receiver position.
What are your thoughts on him going into next season?
I mean, why did you bring in Jonathan Mingo? Why did you trade?
Okay.
Because you don't feel like he's the guy.
He's a different receiver.
Yeah, you don't feel like he's the guy opposite of CeeDee Lamb that's going to make that big of a difference. So he got chances in this game to be the one. He got chances to get those opportunities. So did Turpin. Turpin had plenty of opportunities in this game too. But Jalen Tolbert has done nothing to jump off the page for me other than continually underperform for what my expectation was of him. My expectation was pretty high, and he has not lived up to it. Another hit, though, Kevin, is another receiver, and that is Jonathan Mingo. 2 catches for 24 yards on 2 targets. Let's live it up with this guy. Dude, he was thrown to twice, caught both of them at 12 yards a catch.
Now that's sarcasm.
A real hit.
We'll be all in.
Thank you. A real hit. Micah, 12 sacks to finish the season. Nice work for Micah Parsons. Now let's go to the hits and misses from the rest of the NFL before we get to my big topic that I've wanted to talk about for about 2 weeks now. Misses, number 3, Carson Wentz. Romo said it was a big game for Carson Wentz.
Oh.
I was watching that and I was like, oh, big game for Carson Wentz. He was like, and I remember the line was like, he's been like through 5 or 6 teams or something like that. And now he has a chance to show everybody in the league what he really can do. I was like, what? Everybody kind of knows. So Kevin, what does he do on a day where he gets to show everybody?
Mm-hmm.
10 for 17 for 98 yards with a 22.2 QBR.
Plenty of tread left.
Is 22.2 bad on QBR? Because
is abysmal.
Oh man, that wasn't good at all. So Carson Wentz, that's a miss right there.
How old do you think Carson Wentz is? Because it feels like he should be like 45, right?
30?
He just turned 32.
32? Yeah, he's got plenty of arm left.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm rooting for that guy now.
Ooh, would you rather have Carson Wentz as your backup quarterback next year or Zeke as your backup running back?
Wentz.
Yeah, I'll have to say Carson Wentz because... although I do know he's probably going to play about 4 games. Like that's just the reality of what we're dealing with here with our current quarterback situation. I can't go into another season trusting that Dak is going to be healthy. I have to be prepared for a situation where he's going to miss some time and I'm going to have to turn to somebody else and say, get us out of this hole and hope that that's good enough. But I'm in that spot right now. Number 2 on the misses of the weekend, Tyreek Hill. He notched more than 40 yards once in his final 4 games. Sunday, 2 for 20, and now he wants out of there, as we heard earlier today. Tyreek Hill was a big miss again. And now that we add into the conversation of, hey, were you missing because you couldn't be found, or did the coach pull you out, is another part of the conversation of, what is this guy? You know, is he not happy there because what? We feel like it was mostly because of Tua. I feel that way. That's what I gathered from that audio was, look, man, I can't make plays because I got crap quarterbacks back there. Although he did say Snoop was pretty good. And he did give him some credit on that. But he was like, he's just doing his best. Number 1 on the hits and misses of the weekend for the misses, Sam Darnold turned back into a pumpkin. When they were down 31-9, Sam Darnold was 16 for 35 with 157 Ooh. Yards and zero touchdowns. He didn't look good at all last night. I will give credit to the secondary for the Detroit Lions. They were all over every receiver. It was a great competition with Justin Jefferson last night, but Sam Darnold didn't do himself any favors. A lot of his throws were inaccurate, overthrows. He seemed, Jason Garrett said it, and I was feeling the same thing, and I was surprised Jason Garrett said it the same way. I was like, man, that guy looks like he's just too energized. Like he's just got too much going on, and he doesn't know how to handle this moment. And there he is. Very bad night. I think he ended up finishing the night. They were down 31-9. He ended up finishing 18 for 41 for 166 yards. Ooh. Kevin with a QBR of 17.4. So even worse
than Wentz.
Carson Wentz, who had less yards. So that's that. Now let's go to the hits of the weekend. I will give honorable mention to Bryce Young. Bryce Young threw for three touchdowns and finished the season with seven touchdowns and zero picks in three games with only eight sacks given up. That's pretty impressive for Bryce Young, who I think we all kind of were going, man, I think they're going to have to give up on this guy. But yeah, the last
back.
I'm not saying he's back, Kevin, but that's a strong showing to end up that season. So I'll put him on the honorable mentions for the last three games rolling out there, especially after everything he went through. Number three, Drake London. 10 catches, 187 yards, two touchdowns, and he finished this year with some pretty big numbers. Did you see his touchdown that Penix threw to him? There was a Penix threw.
I don't think I did.
He threw a laser on a slant right over the middle for a touchdown, and it looked like it just stuck in Drake London's chest. Nice throw by Penix for one, but on top of that, Drake London's put out one of those seasons where I was like, what is he? I just don't know. I figured he would be a little bit better because Kirk Cousins was there. I didn't realize that he was going to take this much of a step up. He is a dangerous weapon. Number two on the hits of the weekend, Bo MF and Nix. 321 yards, four touchdowns, 152.4 rating. That's not his QBR, but his rating. Toss in about 50 yards rushing. Big day against Kansas City's backups. I mean, like, that's nice.
Kansas City let you know straight away. They did not give anything. A crap about that game.
But Bo Nix, they knew Cortland Sutton needed to meet some numbers to get to some of his bonuses. And they start off, he's like, I'm throwing the heck out of this football down the field to Cortland Sutton. And he did, and Cortland Sutton was like, thank you very much. Bo Nix, again, I tweeted this out the other day, added the majors on Twitter if you want to give it a follow. And I was like, hey, I really was high on Denver before the season, and I was high on Bo Nix, probably more so than anybody at the station. And I'm not certain about that, but I feel like, Kevin, would you agree that?
I think so.
And I still didn't expect him to be this good. He's been really good.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, hey, this is a nice pairing with him and his head coach. I thought that was a good pairing between the two. And then as I watched him in preseason, I was like, this is nice. But again, we talk about this all the time in spring training. It's preseason. You know, he turned it into reality as the season went along. They didn't start off well. The defense being good was really nice, too. Number one on the list for the hits of the weekend, Jahmyr Gibbs. Four touchdowns.
Unbelievable.
Mr. Everything for the Lions as they rolled the Vikings last night. He was awesome.
Give me cut 19. Let's hear just another one of those Gibbs touchdowns.
The 13. Gibbs left. Jahmyr Gibbs accelerates into the end zone. He's got the hat trick.
He was
amazing.
It's the one you see him get to the lane and you're like, he should be tackled now. And then he's through and taking off and you're like, whoa, like he gets to that place so quickly. And granted, give the Detroit Lions offensive line credit for opening those holes for him too. But as Chris Collinsworth pointed out last night, give him a small seam and he seems to find it and get going really well. Jahmyr Gibbs, what an interesting story for everybody that said he was terrible and it was a terrible pick by the Detroit Lions for doing what he did. And then, Kevin, I wanted to get to this story. So that is the hits and misses of the weekend. I wanted to get to this story. And I don't know why I wanted to bring this up, but I did. Do you like showers?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so, Lucy.
Intriguing question.
Yes. You're shower over bath person?
For sure.
All right. And you're shower over bath person?
No, absolutely.
Okay. Lucy's currently without wisdom teeth. She had two wisdom teeth taken out, two molars, a couple of teeth uncovered, something, a bunch of stuff. And she's been resting a lot. And it reminded me that when Avery, my oldest, had his wisdom teeth out, he was very adamant that he was on a streak of not missing a shower for 628 days. He had tracked 628 days of I've showered and I have not missed a single one of them. And I was like, that he was proud of it. Like, you, he was on a streak.
Are you more impressed by the streak or the fact that he kept track?
The keeping track part was pretty impressive. That being said, when he did have his wisdom teeth taken out, we convinced him that he had slept for 2 days and that he had missed one of his shower days. And he went into like this big depression for a while of like,
oh no,
how long do you hold on to a bit like that with somebody that's all drugged up? Because I thought it was hilarious, but then I was like, oh, he looks really sad that he missed his shower. He was like, I'm going to have to shower twice now to catch up. Like in his brain, he was trying to justify it all.
That's not how that works.
What's your best streak? We can discuss that more tomorrow.
Oh man. I want to say a lot, but I don't know if I've ever like kept track of
it. And I'm not, doesn't necessarily have to be a shower. What is the streak that you're like, you know what? Yeah. I kept that streak alive for a long time.
I went to the gym 49 straight days.
Look at you, man. That's impressive. Keeping track of it too.
That was in the before time.
All right. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, all the records set by the Ravens and Steelers totally screwed in the playoffs. Next on The Fan.
Zappia looks. Oh, he threw a pick. Threw it right into the hands of Nate Wiggins. And the rookie walks in for an early pick six.
Oh my gosh. The KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors alongside Kevin Hagelin. We got Alec Medford hanging out with us as well. If you would like to text something to Kevin to say, hey man, chin up. Everything's going to be okay. Go ahead and do that right now. 877-881-1053. Also, don't forget this Thursday, the Rangers Winter Caravan Tour presented by Coca-Cola kicks off in our fan showroom downstairs. Tell those are stopping by. You got Whataburger while everything lasts. Mark Simeon, Cody Bradford, Matt Festa at 6:30 for autographs. That's a festival right there. If I've ever seen one, free autographs. And the guys are going to join Jared Sandler for the fans' 2025 debut of Rangers Hot Stove. That's from 7 to 8. So yeah, get here for the free autographs with Marcus Simeon, Cody Bradford, and Matt Festa. That's going to be at 6:30. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to go online or anything. Just show up down here, 4131 North Central Expressway. And we just want to say thanks for being the best listeners in DFW. Actually, not even listeners, Kevin. I like to think of it as teammates. But right now, let's discuss the Ravens and how their offense was phenomenal. And I know, Kevin, all year long, you've been very steadfast in MVP discussion. We might have this a little more tomorrow, that Lamar Jackson cannot do it.
I agree.
He just put up so many convincing numbers this year that you're like, how can you not? So I'm very interested to see how that comes down this year.
And I know people will argue he should win MVP this year as maybe opposed to last year, but that's not the way it played out. And Lamar Jackson has two MVPs and not a lot of playoff success. I think that gets held against him. And I think that's why Josh Allen is going to get it, because he has no MVPs.
Yeah.
Now, I realize the Chiefs are there to stuff everyone's playoff success, but I think that's the difference maker. When people are like, oh, compare these stats side by side, I hear you.
I did it too. I've done it multiple times, and I'm just like, I know which one I'm picking.
And I think they're going to be like, yeah, but he already won two, and then he failed again in the playoffs, and I love Lamar Jackson, but that's why I think Josh Allen has got it.
Gotcha. All right. Now, the Ravens offense, Kevin, I benefited a lot from making a trade for Lamar Jackson, but a lot of other people benefited a lot too in Zay Flowers. I know Isaiah Likely actually did really well. Mark Andrews, Derrick Henry. What else do we know about the Ravens?
I really like that question.
Am I okay? Hold on. I just want to, let's peel back the curtain here just a second. All right, Kevin, you tossed together some run sheet stuff.
Yep.
And here at 120,
I'm about done.
It says all the records set by the Ravens and are the Steelers totally screwed in the playoffs? I really don't know all the records. So I'm kind of running around here going, all right, we'll see how it works. But your voice is also giving up on you right now.
Yes.
So I'm trying to figure it all out.
All right.
What can we do here?
Lamar Jackson had 41 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions.
Wow, okay? That's impressive. Prior to him, like, seriously, that's absolutely extremely impressive.
Remember, Bobby said he wasn't really a quarterback.
This was the best throwing season I've seen.
For sure.
I've watched a lot of Lamar Jackson over his career, and I've never seen him look this comfortable throwing the football.
Agreed. Now, Lamar Jackson, the previous high for touchdown passes with only 5 interceptions or fewer was Aaron Rodgers, who might have played his last game. He had 37, and Lamar Jackson, 41. So this is the most impressive stat line that we've ever seen from a touchdown to turnover perspective with this many touchdowns.
And I don't think he does it the way that they did it this year if they don't sign Derrick Henry. I'm dead serious about this, and I'm not trying to crap on the Cowboys for their decision here. Having Derrick Henry in that backfield forces teams to do so many different things to try and stop him. Even Myles Garrett was saying, look, I have to stop him from getting to the second level because it's more difficult for guys at the second level to tackle him than it is for me. That being said, he's fast through the hole, and I'm not going to be able to always make that. So I have to do everything I can. So you're already putting pressure on your defensive front to make decisions when it comes to the way they run their RPOs. And then the fact that there's now more space in the secondary to throw and throwing lanes to have, it did make it a lot easier for Lamar Jackson because he had a threat at running back this year.
Lamar Jackson became the first quarterback in NFL history to have at least 4,000 passing yards and 900 rushing yards in a single season as well. But you mentioned Derrick Henry. He's the first player in NFL history with multiple seasons running the ball for 1,800 plus yards and 15 plus touchdowns.
That is...
So I know he's not going to be in the MVP mix because if anyone was, it would have been Saquon. But that's still pretty damn impressive, too.
And I know to start that game, he wasn't as close to 2,000 yards as he finished. You know, he was, 130-something yards away. He had 130-something yards at the end of that game and was close to 2,000. That was impressive, too, man, to be that close to it all, to finish it up that way. And I do wonder how much it eats up guys like Barkley. I know Barkley said all the right things. How much it eats them up at him to be like, you know what? I would like to go ahead and be the one at the top of that list and set the new record.
Now, this is 4 straight losses for the Steelers. But don't tell...
They're falling apart,
dude. Well, don't tell Russell Wilson that. Let's go to cut number 29. Hey, do you have questions about the losing streak they're on right now? Here's his response.
I don't really want to talk about the past just because I think, you know, we've been in that... We've been in that for a little bit here. I think the best thing we can do is get ready for the playoffs.
He doesn't want to talk about it. Mm-mm. Even though that answer was given right after they lost that game that day.
Yeah. Well, that was in the past, though, Kevin. And didn't we read a story on him that he lives an ultra-neutral life?
What does that mean?
He doesn't want to remember good things or bad things. He just wants to be in the middle of everything. So he doesn't get him. That's the whole idea of even keel and not getting too high or too low.
Mr. Unlimited.
being unlimited, which again, every time I hear the song from Wicked, that's all I think of. But when he's one of those mentalities that and it's a very specific thing. I got to go find this story, Kevin, and send it over to you because it's a way of life, a way of thinking. And so I see that, but they have to figure out what's happened to the offense that kind of showed up a little bit and is putting too much pressure on their defense to carry the load for that team. That defense has to be able to take a load off.
Okay. I think they're screwed in the playoffs. I think they're going to get walloped. I'm a huge Steelers fan.
Well, yet here we are.
You know, it sounds like you're a realist then because their offense can't. You think they're going to. I don't think they're going to get blown out. I just think that they're not going to be able to score enough. Does that make sense? I think their defense can keep them in games, but their offense just Pickens was non-existent on Saturday. Pickens is the receiver they need, and every time they put the ball in his direction, it was either over his head, it was behind him, it went right through his hands. That was terrible. Freiermuth was their best receiver in that game. Najee Harris was a reliable source, but they couldn't. They didn't have a receiver they could go to on the outside, and that ended up screwing them over. So they got it. Pickens, if he wants to be that level of a wide receiver, he's going to have to show up in this playoff and show something he didn't show in the last game against the Bengals.
I know we've talked a lot about football today, but Alec, can you give me cut number 22? It also feels like we might need to puck around and find out.
Duchesne. Couldn't stuff Harley. He scores! Another overtime winner for Thomas Harley. This one completes a perfect homestand.
Now, I know that Utah is technically the home of this team now, but the owners of this team are the Dallas Stars.
Yes.
In their last 26 games against the then Arizona Coyotes, now Utah Hockey Club, the Stars are 23-2-1 against them.
That is like,
that's astounding.
I don't think you could ask for anything more.
Hey, 26-0.
Or maybe a cup. Like that would be a nice thing. Let's go ahead and get the cup while we're at it.
I would agree with that.
You're okay with getting the cup?
Let's do it.
All right, that sounds good to me.
This year?
I'm in, man. This is one of those years where I'm saying strike. Strike. Not like strike where like,
oh my gosh,
sorry, radio industry, we're striking. No, it's not how it's going to be. Strike with this team. I think you're getting through this regular season and you're getting ready to go on a fun playoff run with the Stars, man. I'm excited about it.
One good thing, another reason to be excited about the Stars right now, they've won 4 straight. So that's tied for their season high winning streak, which is how they started the season. So they got Tuesday. They're going up against the New York Rangers, okay, not to be confused with our baseball team. And they have an opportunity to put together their season best 5-game winning streak.
I'm totally about that, man. I'd love to see that happen immediately.
So you want the Rangers to lose?
I want the New York Rangers to lose.
Just
the Texas Rangers aren't even playing right now, Kevin. What are you talking about, man? You know what they're doing? They're winning this offseason, in my mind. That's what they're doing.
Because they already got to meet with Roki Sasaki and people are
do you have any more information on that?
Yeah, I think it was Jeff Passan who said the Rangers were in the group of, I believe it's 6 teams that were obviously front runners in the Roki Sasaki sweepstakes because they were one of the teams that had already met with him. And so he's
if you've talked to him, you have a chance.
I mean, which,
to shoot your shot.
That makes sense, right?
It absolutely makes sense. I'm not going to fall. This is, I guess, a good thing at this point of being a Rangers fan. I'm not going to get so completely decimated if they don't get him because I feel really confident in the pitching staff that they have right now. I know you need some balance for Eovaldi and DeGrom in case of injury. You have to have that. If those two go down, that is a rough season. You're really hoping Rocker is ready to be an ace at this point, and Cody Bradford will be here on Thursday, by the way. Hey. You're really hoping a lot out of those guys, but I'm looking at this team going, I'm hopeful based on what they added in the lineup that we can score more runs this year. I have a lot of confidence in Bruce Bochy, no matter what, and Chris Young doesn't sleep. If they need something, he's like,
or celebrate holidays without working.
he says, if we need something, I need to go get it. You know, give me the money to go get it. I'll go find it. Or if I don't have the money, I'll figure out a way to get it. So I really appreciate that. And then they made their move where they traded Owen White for cash considerations today.
Hell yeah.
That's nice to see. All right. Everything you got for the Stars, Kevin? All right. Let's do something now and chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation next on The Fan.
And here's a huge rush again on Daniels and Micah Parsons. How about a follow-up? How about number 2?
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is time to chit-chat with the fellows from the G-Bag Nation, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Terrific, Majors. How the heck are you guys?
I'm doing great. Kevin, on the other hand,
fighting.
Could be better.
You know what? You got to commend him for battling through it today. He did.
You're a fighter, man. You're showing that grit and toughness.
Proud of you, man.
What if it means I can't talk tomorrow?
Well, Mike's back, so he'll talk enough for all
timing,
of us.
Yeah. So we think.
Oh, no, hold on.
That's what I think.
You think Mike's not going to show up tomorrow?
I mean, if you had to pick one person who just wasn't there when you thought they were going to be there from the station, isn't he pretty high on the list?
No comprende.
Yeah, probably so. That would probably make
Yeah, I think it would be Mike.
He's been a pretty reliable source, though, you know, most of this time. Have you gentlemen gotten your, have y'all checked your junk mail to see if the Jets have requested to speak to y'all yet regarding coaching their team?
No, haven't done that. I do need to dig through that junk mail a little bit more often, though, Major, so I appreciate the reminder.
Mm-hmm. I always find out, I'm like, man, I didn't get that email. And they're like, did you check your junk mail? And then you see, and if the Jets, they're asking for everybody.
They
right
really
now.
Are.
They are like, and I kind of wanted to ask y'all this question. You're going to do a coaching search. You're going to sit down and do this. What is your approach? Are you saying I'm just shotgunning this thing and I'm asking for everybody? Do you narrow it down to a few and then that's how you do it? Do you say I'm going to get three, one that's good, one that sucks, and one that's that I really want? And I'm going to present them that way and hope that my guy says that he wants the one that I really want. How are you doing a coaching search?
I'm going to start with a request from my computer guys in the information department. I want a list of everybody that's worked with Shanahan, McVay, and Andy Reid.
Okay.
We'll start there.
Okay. And how offensively or like even if they've worked defensively with them too?
I'm pretty much going for offense, gotcha. Although I'm open-minded to stuff.
Right.
You know, if there's somebody from the defensive side who's got quite a reputation, and then I just want to call people that they know,
yeah.
You know, and I want to get somebody that I trust that I can go over this with. So I need some football people inside my own building. But, you know, I think this all comes down to, you know, one of the biggest issues with the Cowboys organization is there is nobody inside of there that has a championship vision. I think Jerry Jones has a vision for how to make the playoffs, how to run a great organization, how to market. But like being an architect, being the genius driving force that can allow the pieces to fall in place, I just don't think they have that guy right now.
I'm going to take Dawson's list, which I think is going to be pretty good. And then I'm going to start to, as I interview these guys, I'm going to find out who your staff is. First question I'm going to ask you is, who's your staff? And if I don't like your staff, then I'm ending the interview.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm absolutely. If you want to hire a bunch of your buddies and things like that and people that I feel like that, you know, if I can do the research on your offensive line coach, on your quarterback coach, your OC, all these things, then, you know, I'm going to do it. But if you're putting together a poor staff, I'm not interested in talking to you at all. Because every really good program I've been with has future head coaches in it. I was one in with Mike Holmgren, with the Andy Reids and the John Grudens, Dick Geron. You know, there were future head coaches on that staff.
And so, if you want to go friends, you just don't have enough respect for the process of trying to find guys.
No, I want you hiring dudes and gals that are smarter than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not interested in you being the smartest guy in the room, you know, and your staff is going to be really, really important to me. If you hire a bunch of guys and gals that I don't feel like can get that job done, I'm not interested in talking because it's not important enough for you to be a head coach if you can't put together a really good staff.
The Cowboys feel that way?
About their head coach?
Just about that.
Obviously not.
Process.
They fired. Yeah. Obviously not. I mean, it's no. you got me on that one there, Perry Mason. You ask a question you already knew the answer to. But
sorry,
yeah,
I'll zip it.
No, it's okay. But yeah, no, they don't. They don't have an idea of that. Like I said, you've got to be able to understand who the staff is and who you're coaching. Who's coaching your players? You know, it ain't all the head coach. It's about these assistants. Look at what's going on in Detroit right now. With Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, look what's going on. Hank Fraley, the offensive line coach. He got together a damn good staff of coaches, and that's why their turnaround happened so fast.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to this, but you said not hiring your buddies. I know Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell played together here in Dallas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were they packaged? Did they get hired?
He knew Aaron. Like, Aaron had been at the Saints.
He's
he
like,
was
he's
in
good.
Miami. Yeah, he's
gotcha.
Just damn good. They were, Texas A&M. I mean, they great players there. But yeah, when you start hiring all your buddies, you get staffs that have Mike Nolan on them, Jim Tom Sula, guys like that. I end up as an owner having to fire those guys and pay them out because they're bad coaches. I'm not paying bad coaches.
Zach, you said that there was a thought that maybe a head coach and an owner are meeting this afternoon. Is that for?
Yeah, I saw Jane put out that McCarthy and Jerry are supposed to meet later this afternoon. They've already had their visit with the team, but Jane is unclear if a decision or offer will be made at that point. But so far, it's business as usual over there at the Star.
Yeah, I do wonder if that meeting is that a meeting of, hey, let's go ahead and get this process started, or is that a meeting of, all right, we're wrapping the season up? And I don't know if those two go hand in hand. I've never really been in that building to know the truth on that. Does anybody?
It's probably a season wrap meeting, but based on the situation, I mean, I find it hard to believe that they wouldn't have some sort of conversation on what the future could look like. Like, do you want to be here? Do you not want to be here? Are you going to go flirt with other offers? Do you want us to give you approval to talk with New Orleans or whatever other team it might be? Do we talk extension? I mean, that's got to come up. I mean, how could it not come up? You can't just talk about what happened in 2024 without looking at, do I have a job here moving forward? What's going on?
And then, if I'm Mike, I can't leave that that room without Jerry giving me some sort of an indication. Like, I'm going to let you know right now, I want to stay here. This is my top priority. But if you can't give me anything other than we'll see for the next 8 days, I might go take another job. You know, I think it's Jerry trying to leverage Mike into taking a lower amount of money.
I think there's about to be a low ball offer here.
Yeah.
And Mike's going to have to make a decision. And Mike's really loyal to his coaches, you know, want to make sure that the, you know, Scott Tolzien's and those guys of the world have jobs. You know, it's Mike's got money. These coaches don't. You know, that's the problem that they run into. And Mike is very, very loyal and thoughtful about that. But I have a feeling that Jerry's going to try and lowball him here. And then Mike's going to have to make a decision, you know, to get back to him. Him and Don Yee are going to have to sit down and say, okay. But what Mike needs to do is ask for some concessions from Jerry. Like, okay, if you're going to lowball me, then this is what we're going to have to do on your end. You don't get to be on 105.3 The Fan once, you know, twice a week. You don't get to do this. You don't get to do that. And if Jerry's like, well, no, I'm not doing that, then maybe Mike walks. But I have a feeling that you know, there's going to be, if Mike gets an offer, I have a feeling it's not going to be one that he's going to be really, really happy with.
Did he do enough in his 5 years to warrant the ability to kind of leverage back and forth like that?
I think that if you're a coach, I mean, if he has other opportunities potentially lined up, and he's got a damn good agent. I mean, Don Yee got Jim Harbaugh back in the league. He got Sean Payton back in the league. You know, I mean, he's damn good at manufacturing opportunities for guys. If, you know, Mike's got to feel confident about that. And if Jerry doesn't want to try and bend a little here or bend a little there, then Mike could say, okay, fine, I'll just move on. I wouldn't blame him if he did.
Well, Jerry might. I know he said he didn't have any urgency to get anything done.
Never does. Dave Hellman calls it, it's trying to find the new pope.
It's so frustrating.
You know, we're all looking for the black smoke and the, you know, the clear smoke and all that stuff like that.
Well, maybe the pursuit of Hollywood might pressure him to go ahead and get things done a little faster.
I don't think that was acting. I think that was real life.
Let's hear. This is Jerry Jones with, as Bobby said this morning, John Hamm instead of John Hamm.
Oh.
But this is Jerry Jones on the new show, Landman. Yes, it's Hamm.
Okay.
He's on Landman, and he's sitting with John Hamm, who's in the hospital, and your buddy Billy Bob Thornton, that's he's right. also in the hospital just hanging out, and Jerry has a little speech he wants to say.
Now, I'm not saying I've done anything right, but I made my mind up a long time ago I was going to work with my kids. They're involved in everything. They're involved in my leasing, oil and gas, real estate. And so when I got to Cowboys, I got it so that we could all work together. I thought I was doing it for them, but the one that got the most out of it was me. I just know it's not going to be this time, but you're going to be sitting here sometime in the future, laying here sometime in the future. And this room's going to be full of your business associates and the people you've worked with all your life. And more than likely, your children and family are going to be there because they're your children and your family. But you could have them there because they're the people you spent your life with, you worked with, you fell down with, you got up with. Not just Thanksgiving, Christmas. That's who you want to be with. So when that time comes like this, it's a celebration of your life, and you're not wishing you'd spend a little more time seeing a few more sons come up. That's the trick. That's the trick, because that's going to be your glory. But I'm pretty proud of them Cowboys. I'm pretty proud of the stuff we've done in oil and gas, it pales in comparison to how proud I am is to have lived my life working with my kids. You got a chance to do something about that. I hope you will. And I'll tell you, young man, you're no spring chicken. And you ought to listen to Little Ish yourself.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm a few eggs short of a spring chicken, that's for sure.
Thank a lot of both of you guys.
Feelings mutual. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay. Don't make me get my rubber glove out.
There it is. That is Jerry Jones and his acting. I'm not going to say debut. I feel like he's been in plenty of other stuff
before.
In
a lot of things, yeah.
But I'm with you, man. That sounded like it was from the heart.
It was.
Taylor Sheridan does have Kevin, I know how you feel about Yellowstone, but there are times when he'll slip in a character from Four Sixes that you don't know the person, and they give this speech like that because it's a real-life experience that they're talking about. And I thought that one was definitely a real-life experience right there. That was a... Hopefully doesn't
very talented guy, you know. I feel like, you know, instead of trying to act, he was like, why don't I just give you a real answer like I would if I was up at a press conference or talking about
no
guys
dialogue
on
105.3
The Fan, you know, because I feel like we've almost heard that verbatim in the past.
Yeah.
And maybe he leaned into the accent a little bit more or leaned into the emotion a little bit more. But what I was thinking as I was, you know, listening to that is as a fan, you have to take into account while he's up there selling it, whether it's at a press conference or at an interview, he's got the ability, a really, you know, fantastic range of a performance ability, you know? So I think that probably just speaks to his ability to sell and to put passion and human behind it, which is how he pulls everybody into this brand, even though they haven't won for three decades. It's just a small window into his vast talents.
Very captivating.
Yeah.
No, it really was.
It really is. And, I mean, that was what was really intriguing about him very early on when he bought the team, too, was his ability to, you know, make you feel like he was your best friend while he's on a podium talking to you.
Yeah.
And then over time, people are like, hold on, we've gotten smarter, and we don't believe that right now. And they're smarter fans than they've ever been, and they know more about it. And now they're like, hold on, we're disproving some of this stuff. Like, he said he didn't know anything about Cooper Rush's incentive bonus. I'm pretty sure I asked him that question on Friday and specifically said Cooper Rush's incentive.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I don't have a problem paying those out. I love it. It doesn't matter to me. It might matter to Cooper. It doesn't matter to me that much. But that was kind of a weird answer after I felt like on Friday we specifically had this conversation. What do you guys got coming up on the show, Graham, today?
Pure Gold, as always, Majors, thanks so much for asking. Of course, Krusty's Corner is coming up at 3:40, and he'll give you, you know, takeaways and reactions to yesterday's Cowboys loss to Washington and how close they were to victory. That was terrifying. John Machota is going to join us at 4 o'clock, but we'll be tracking, you know, the very latest with Mike McCarthy and following up on this report from Slater.
All right.
See what else Jane says throughout the afternoon.
Keep an eye on all of it, and you got it tuned in right here on 105.3 The Fan. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. That's the G-Bag Nation. Until tomorrow, you've been Masterpieced.